Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 3. To those of you who can be with us for in-person worship, it's good to have you with us. And also for those of you who are worshiping with us online, we thank you for your presence as well. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. I remind you that whenever we're singing tonight, please have your mask on if you're singing. And then also, during the times when you're just sitting there, you're socially distanced, if you want to take your mask down or something like during the sermon, feel free to do that. Remember also that the children's message has been recorded, is already online, and so that's available for parents and grandparents on this Father's Day weekend. Julie told me that there's probably like 200, 225 views already of that. So we are grateful to God that even in the midst of COVID-19, God is determined to get his word out to his people. So thank you to parents and grandparents that continue to raise the little ones up in the faith. A couple of other announcements. First of all, after worship tonight, we're going to have a brief Emmanuel huddle to update members on some things that have been happening, some plans for the summer, and also about the church land. You'll notice that the stone, the commemorative stone for when we purchased the land, December 27th, 2019, is found back there in the gathering space, so you can see that as you leave. Remember also, we won't be sharing the peas, and remember also that for the offering, we won't be passing baskets, so anyone that wishes to support the ministry of Christ here at Emmanuel, you can drop it off in the basket as you leave, or you can send it in, or do whatever the Lord invites you to do in your tithing. Larry Vomhoff is back from the CMAC mission trip up in the Gladwin, Michigan area. Everything went well there. They were able to help a family, a husband and wife, elderly couple that had like 3 feet of water in their home when the dams broke. And so it's not about trying to fix everything for everybody, but one person at a time we share the love of Jesus with. And then finally, I want to give a shout out for Wyona Shoal. That is Peg Bellamy's mother. She's 89 years old today, and she's been confined up in Little Falls, unable to have any contact with her family. Today, for her birthday, they let her go outside and 2 family members at a time for 30 minutes that they could finally see each other. And we're grateful to God for that birthday gift. May God bless you and all on this Father's Day weekend as we celebrate the everlasting Father who has chosen you and me to be his children. We rise now as we are able for our gathering song, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird or star in heaven, such a refuge ne'er was given. God is own doth tend and nourish, in his holy courts they flourish. From all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. Here's the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
A people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your hearts. Teach them to your children.
Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
One does not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Our scripture song throughout this summer is, Lord, let my heart be good soil. We'll sing it twice.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. For those who love you, O God, you have chosen and prepared what no eye has seen nor ear heard. Pour into our hearts a loving affection for you, that we may choose you in and above all things. For only then shall we have what you promise, which far exceeds all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
Our first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning with verse 7. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16, and we will read it responsively. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day,
nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him.
I will protect him because he knows my name.
When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are of now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A portion from Jesus' sermon on the mission. These 12 disciples Jesus sent out, instructing them, and sing to them. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny also before my Father who is in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated, and we will sing together verses 1 and 2 of our hymn of the day. Verses 1 and 2, if you but trust in God to guide you. For you a cross will bring you safe through every loss. Fear not, fear not, fear not. You've probably heard of people who don't have a care in the world, or people who are careless, or people who are carefree, and on the other hand, people who are anxious about being anxious. In other words, one phobia after another. There are, in fact, good fears and bad fears, fake fears and real fears. And in our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus says, if you're going to be afraid, then make sure that it's legitimate fear. Don't be afraid of the one that can do harm to your earthly body, that can add pain and suffering to the here and now, the temporal realm. But instead, be fearful, reverent of, in awe of your heavenly Father, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. In other words, don't worry about that ancient serpent, the thief, who can kill and steal and destroy in the here and now. But he has no command over eternity. Your heavenly Father has command over eternity. Blessed Father's Day to you and to yours. We are children of the Heavenly Father, and we are safely in His bosom gathered. Dear friends in Christ, have no fear. Have no fear, little flock, for the Father has already chosen to give you His kingdom. Or in the words of that beautiful, beloved hymn, this is my Father's world. Oh, let me not forget that even though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Three times in our gospel reading for tonight. You probably noticed that Matthew 10 was the source of last week's gospel and this week's gospel and next week's gospel. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are five discourses, five teaching, preaching sermons of Jesus, and this is his second sermon, Matthew 10, which is about mission. You and I are a missionary church, or we are no church at all. The church is in the mission of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. Or the church is a mission field itself. Fear not, fear not, fear not. You see, Jesus has lots of words about this mission field. He says, if you look, you'll see that the fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. So Jesus takes the disciples that he has trained in the kingdom, and he commissions them to be apostles. He sends them out. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish. And as he's traveled throughout the villages and the cities, he's noticed that God's people, the children of the Heavenly Father, are harassed and they're helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and refuses to let anyone snatch a lamb out of his hands. Dear friends in Christ, this is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming to his disciples, that they get to go out and do his holy work through the power of the Holy Spirit. As you go, preach the good news. Proclaim to people that the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. As you go, heal the sick. As you go, cast out demons. Raise the dead and cleanse the lepers. You got the gift of salvation for free, and now you got to give the gift of salvation for free in the name of Jesus Christ. Good news, my friends, but it's not going to be easy, and Jesus doesn't soft sell the mission field. He says there's going to be rejection. In fact, you're going to be hated by all for my name's sake, he says. And then Jesus says, I'm going to send you out in pairs, and there will be people who will give you hospitality. In other words, you don't have to worry, you don't have to be anxious. Your Heavenly Father is going to provide for you, and He's going to protect you. Or you're going to get beaten up, there's going to be martyrs, there's going to be tragic things that'll happen. In fact, you'll be betrayed, even by members of your own family. Hard to believe, but true. This is a hostile mission field. When you go out, Jesus says, you're lambs. And the environment is full of wolves and lions that seek only to devour. But don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Because God's going to watch over you and take care of you. In your dying and in your rising, 24/7, He's got His eye on you. So don't be afraid. But we are at times afraid, aren't we? We're afraid about, well, what about a roof over my head? What about retirement? Will I be able to pay my bills? What about COVID-19? What about the economy? What about, what about, what about, what about? And we get paralyzed sometimes by fear. Now, some fear is okay because it keeps us cautious. And we learn to be careful. but some fear can paralyze us. And my guess is that you, as well as me, know what it's like at times to experience some fears. Now, when I was in junior high or high school, you know, I lived on a farm, and I wanted to play sports, and that meant I had to ride the activity bus, and it meant that I would get dropped off in the wintertime after basketball practice in a big cloud of darkness, about a half a mile from my house. Thank goodness there was a yard light there. I could keep my eyes on the light in the midst of the hovering darkness. But I've got to admit, on those nights in the winter when it was cold, on those nights when there wasn't snow on the ground or stars up in the sky, everything was dark and gloomy, and there were shadows everywhere. And I just knew, just like you just know, there's probably a monster in the bedroom closet or under the bed, or in those ditches, a wild animal, an untamed dog, something that wanted to come after me. And people would say, come on, man up. You were in junior high or high school, for crying out loud. What are you afraid of? You were going to church, weren't you? Confirmation, yeah? What are you afraid of? Well, we're afraid. We're afraid of a lot of things, my friends. We're afraid. And when I'd get home there, first thing I had to do was take care of my collie dog, Lassie. It was my job, if I wanted to be in sports, when my dad was away having to work, take care of some things. So I would take my dog down to the barn, and I would make sure that Lassie went into the barn first. My protector, right? And then I would reach around and find that light switch and flip it on. Then I would go inside, and I wouldn't dilly-dally. I would make sure that I took care of Lassie right away, the food, the water, the straw for the bedding. And then I would skedaddle out of there, shut the light off, shut the door. The dog was in there for the night. And I would get up to the house where my mom had supper waiting for me. Yeah, I know what it's like to be afraid of things. And so when Jesus says three times, I would say three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When he says three times, you're going into a hostile mission field and you're going to be afraid of a lot of things. But let's make sure that you have real fear rather than fake fear. When you go into that mission field, don't be afraid of the one that can do harm to your body. Instead, pay attention to the one, your heavenly Father, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. In other words, keep your eyes on the one who has eternity. This is my Father's world. And even though the wrong seems oh so strong, God is the ruler yet. So don't be afraid. It's not the first time Jesus has said it. If you go back to his first sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will say, you know what? I'm looking around and I'm seeing a lot of anxious people that are anxious about being anxious, and they're worrying and they're fretting and they're getting paralyzed and they're getting distracted from what is really essential and important in life, the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, why don't you just open your eyes for a minute? Why don't you just look around? Jesus would tell stories, parables, as illustrations, and then he would use things that you could just see or hear with your eyes. He said, look around. You see those flowers over there? Those beautiful lilies? I mean, they're impressive, aren't they? They're absolutely amazing. Even Solomon, great King Solomon, who had all of these fancy robes and stuff, he wasn't even adorned like those lilies of the field. And they don't toil, and they don't spin, they don't do nothing. But your Heavenly Father provides for them. Oh, wait a minute. You see all those birds flying around here? You think that the birds in the springtime, that they pull out their tractor, and they plow up the fields, and they plant the seeds, and they use some pesticides and herbicides and all that kind of stuff, and then the fall they have to harvest it so they got food for the winter? No, they don't. Your Heavenly Father takes care of them. So if your Heavenly Father is going to take care of the birds and take care of the lilies, you really think he's not going to take care of you? Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. You see, he's already laid the foundation. So when he gets to his sermon on mission in Matthew chapter 10, and when he tells us this is not going to be a cakewalk, my friends. I mean, if somebody said, and I've seen, quite frankly, some seminaries that do this, I kid you not, they actually advertise, they market the seminary and say, have you considered a career in parish ministry? I mean, you could get this and this and this and this as a pastor. Really? I would suggest that they read Matthew 10 again. Yes. This is not going to be easy. But don't be afraid, Jesus says. And then he uses illustrations. You saw it, right? Fear not, fear not, fear not. He says, I think we need to open our eyes here. When was the last time you were in the marketplace? Oh, probably this morning, right? You know those sparrows? Oh, yeah, the ones that sell two for a penny? Yeah, the Greek word is asarion. And it's the smallest coin currency. 16 of those asarions, they make a denarius, which was the wage of a laborer for 12 hours of work in a day. It was the cheap food, the finger food. You might even call them like chicken nuggets. You know, you get two for a penny, and they're like little kebabs. The food of the poor, and the rich Romans, they liked having those little sparrows as little pets. Now, not one of those sparrows, not one of those sparrows falls to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it. You're of much more value than many sparrows, Jesus says. God's got you. The evil one, he can mess with your body, but he can't touch your soul because your soul belongs to the Father. And he's given you the kingdom because he's claimed you as his son and his daughter. You are beloved, my friends. How do I know? Well, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all on the cross, will he not give us all good things with him? Yes, this is most certainly true. Oh, you want another illustration? What about the hairs on your head? Did you know that the average human being has 100,000 to 110,000 hairs on their head? Now, if you're a redhead, you've only got about 90,000. If you're blonde, you've got about 150,000. And you lose about 50 to 100 hairs every single day, my friend. But God, generally speaking, is in the replenishing business. Not always. But Jesus says, here's the thing. Every single hair on every single head is numbered and counted by God. Seriously, at any given moment, at this precise moment, here and now, I could point to any of you and you wouldn't know how many hairs you have. And I wouldn't know. All we could do is guess. But you know who doesn't have to guess? Your Heavenly Father. He knew yesterday, he knows today, he'll know tomorrow how many hairs you have on your head. He's crazy about you. I mean, it's like what it says in Psalm 139. Before you get an idea or a thought in your head, God already knows what it is. Before you put a word on your lips and you speak it, God already knows what you're going to say. I mean, He knows everything about you and me because he's your Father, your everlasting Father. He loves you. Psalm 139 says that even before your mom and your dad met, God already knew about you. And he knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. So don't be afraid. Oh, there are people who are afraid, and sometimes justifiably so. I mean, even in the midst of our country and our world that we live in, because of sin and our captivity to it, a person can have extra fear just because of the color of their skin. And our Heavenly Father weeps. because he knit us together in our mother's wombs, and he loves us with an everlasting love. A number of years ago, there was a beloved hymn that was written. It was written, and we're going to sing it as our final hymn tonight, His Eye is on the Sparrow. It's an interesting story. A woman by the name of Sevilla Martin wrote the words to that beloved hymn. You see, Sevilla and her husband, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, they went to New York, and they visited an elderly couple named the Doolittles. Now, the Doolittles were like always full of joy, which was surprising given their circumstances, because Mr. Doolittle had a severe disability. He couldn't walk. Everywhere he went, he had to be transported by a wheelchair. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for 20 years. And so the Martins were visiting with the Doolittles, and I mean, they had a tendency to fret over little things. And finally, Mr. Martin asked Mrs. Doolittle, in spite of all the things that have come your way, you are so full of joy and hope. Why? How can you have this deep happiness, this deep joy? And Mrs. Doolittle looked at Mr. Martin and said, His eye is on the sparrow. So I know for certain that he watches over me. I know it. And so it was Sevilla who went and composed the song that we're going to sing tonight. Beautiful words. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know he's watching you and me. There's a poem that I came across a few years ago, and I want to share it with you. It goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no father such as cares for you and me. Satan is the father of all lies and liars. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, my friend. You have a father. The Bible says he's the everlasting father. And he loves you, and he's got his eye on you 24/7. Whoever acknowledges me, I will acknowledge them, Jesus says. But whoever denies me, I will deny as well. Oh, beloved children of God, cling to Christ and his promising word, his eternal word for you. You've got the good shepherd. You're children of the Heavenly Father, and you are safely in his bosom gathered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the singing of our hymn of the day, verses 3 and 4.
In patient trust await his leisure, in cheerful hope with heart content, to take whate'er your Father's pleasure, and all discerning love has said. Doubt not our hymn, most wants are known, to him who chose us for serving, offer your service.
We rise for our confession of faith. In Christ you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And in the days ahead, may God grant you ways of being reconciled and sharing his peace with others. You may be seated. We continue with our closing prayers.
In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to God the Father that through his dear Son, he would accomplish his will for the church, the world, and all people for whom we pray. Thank you, dear Father, for Jesus, whom we may trust, body and soul, even when he brings not peace but a sword. Thank you for the severe mercy of death and resurrection, law and gospel, repentance and forgiveness. Thank you for entrusting your kingdom and your living word to us, even though we often feel unequal to that trust. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You established your church as a school for mission to the world. Help them form all Christians into eager witnesses to the love of Jesus. Free the church from worldly preoccupations and free it to announce and share the glorious inheritance which belongs to all whom Christ has redeemed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Fashion this congregation into a missionary outpost, a school for discipleship, a hotbed of generous service, and a temple resounding with your praise. Teach us simple ways of sharing your love with everyone we meet, and give us the strength and will to do them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Because Jesus called you Abba, Father, we too may call you Father. Be the model for every father and all who act with a father's care. Give them strength with gentleness, firmness with patience, authority with self-sacrificing love. Help us to honor and thank them, even though they are not perfect. Be the sure protector of all who do not have a loving Father in their lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring health and gladness to all whose lives are shadowed by pain, suffering, or sorrow, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for Dan Brooklyn, for Paige Johnson, Amy Cooper, Denny Damerville. We pray for Kelly Stoyles, for Brad Lund, for Jeff Bernards, for Bernie Siebenabler, for Melody and for Luke, for David Deacon Joyner, for Pam Hammond. We pray for the end of COVID-19. We pray for the restoration of your people, and we pray for repentant hearts.
Be their light and life, their guide and joy. Raise them up from the dark valleys in which they wander. Give compassion, gentleness, and patience to all who care for them. Shelter them always with your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we ask, dear Father, in the power of your Spirit. Receive our prayers and grant all that is in accordance with your will, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our sending song, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Shadows come. Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is here. His eye is on. Is me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on. Let not your heart be troubled. This tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but his eye is on the sea. door, he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.